Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm excited to have you join me this week. Today's inspiring and motivational quote is by Darnell Lamont Walker, and it says, "Everyone gets broken. Everyone. Some grow stronger in those breaks. Others never recover." So what really does become of a broken heart? Have you made the same mistakes over and over, finding out that your new love is just as bad, sneaky, mean, or maybe dysfunctional as your old love? It seems like patterns love to repeat themselves. At some point, I think we all get a little gun shy. Starting a relationship just might mean the agony of ending a relationship, enduring the heartache and the embarrassment of having to tell friends and family that, yep, this one's over too, and answering all the questions that come with that. Who needs it, right? But breakups are not only sad and inconvenient. The reality is that sometimes they just might cause long-term depression and other emotional distress that's hard to emerge from. Our guest today has faced such trauma, and her quote says, which I think is very powerful, "Sometimes you have to go through great pain and difficulty to unwrap your true gifts." We are talking with Orion Talmay. Orion is a love coach and an international speaker. She works with successful high achievers and helps them unleash their feminine power and become a magnet for conscious relationships and love. She's the founder of Orion's Method and the host of a popular podcast, Stellar Life. Orion helps women increase their energy level, develop a sexy confidence, ignite their passion, and discover a sense of freedom, ease, and flow. Orion is also a contributor to the Intent.com blog and the Huffington Post. So, Orion, thank you so much for taking the time and being on the show today. I'm really excited to have you.
I'm really excited to be here, Connie. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I absolutely had to include your quote in my introduction, because sometimes we do have to go through the pain or failure, or, you know, however you want to classify it, to kind of emerge and become just our greatest self. So what are some of the things that you recommend to women so they can actually love themselves more? And can you just talk a little bit about that? Because I know that's a big component of your program.
Of course. Yes. So right now I'm married, happily married to the love of my life. I have a pretty good life. I'm happy, but it wasn't always like that. Less than a decade ago, I went into an abusive relationship and I was completely broken, shattered, and I went into a very deep depression. So much so that they wanted me to take medications. Now, I know that it's good for some, but for me, I knew that there was this light inside that I can hold on to, and I did. So I started doing everything that I could to get myself out of it. And a part of it is to start loving myself again, because in that relationship, I was told that I am fat, ugly, stupid, all kinds of, like, any kind of insult that you can think of, I received it. Was almost like a brainwash, and I was very isolated, so I really believed it. But there was this little voice inside that says, "No, you're more than that," and that tried to remind me of who I am. And by just taking little steps, like watching funny YouTube videos and watching inspirational videos, going to seminars, reading books, consuming any and every self-development information I could get my hands on, I helped myself get out of that pain. And one of my greatest mentors was Louise Hay. Mm. And Louise Hay does mirror work. And mirror work means that you go to the mirror, you look at yourself in the eyes, and you say, "I love you." And Louise says, when something good happens, run to the mirror and say, "I love you." And when something bad happens, run to the mirror and say, "I love you. I love you no matter what." And when I did this exercise in the beginning, I looked at myself in the mirror and I couldn't. I cried. Every time I looked at myself in the mirror, I couldn't even say, I love you. I hated myself. I experienced self-loathing, shame, guilt. How did I get myself to here? How did I end up here? And by being consistent and by practicing more and more and more, I went to a place where I could say it without crying, and then I could say it and maybe smile a little bit, and then I can say it and totally believe it and say, wow, I really love me. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're great. So affirmations are like, this is like the first step, I believe, because it's really important to notice the conversation you have in your head. What do you tell yourself about yourself to other people is important, but also what do you tell to yourself in your own head, because we are our own greatest critics. So it starts there.
You know what? You said so many just, oh my God, right out of the gate, just fabulous things. And Louise Hay was amazing. She recently passed away, right?
If I know.
Yeah.
I know. I was present in her 90th birthday where she couldn't even talk. She went on stage and she gave us a blessing with our eyes. Oh. And I just felt all flooded with emotions. I am forever grateful for her.
Yeah, she's a loss to all of us, because she really was such a, and she had a very, very hard life when she started. So kind of mirror there with you and, you know, her beginnings, right? And what she made of herself and you being in this very abusive relationship. So a couple of things you said, affirmations, I believe, are so, so important. And it truly was your lifeline initially, right? Those affirmations were, plus all the reading and everything that you were absorbing yourself in. I think that was brilliant, right? But then those affirmations became your lifeline. And little by little, you start to believe what you say to yourself. And I'm sure you know the statistic, but we have something like 80,000 thoughts a day, or some ridiculously high number. 90% of them, Orion, are negative. So, and we don't even realize it. So
I didn't know that 90% are negative.
90% are negative.
Wow.
Or 80% are negative. And every day, those recurring thoughts, we have 90% recurring thoughts from the day before. So talk about negative self-talk. We embedded into literally our DNA, our cellular level, right? So those affirmations that you kind of, did the work with the mirror work of I love you is just such a perfect step one for anybody listening who feels lost or sad or depressed. And the other thing you said that I think is so important, you can't do it for a day. You Mm-mm. did it and practiced it to the point where you looked in the mirror and cried, and then were able to say it, but thought, yeah, I don't believe it. And then said it with emotion and belief behind it. It really does take practice to change or reframe all of that crap that we have in our head, right? And the other thing I just wanted to comment, and then I want you to speak more, because everything you're saying is just powerful. I hope people are truly listening to your message. But I take yoga once a week, try to do it more frequently. But every Monday, that's how I start my week. And one day, you know, they have the mirrors, Orion, in the studios. So we were doing, I want to say it was one of the goddess poses, and she said, look in the mirror and say to yourself, not out loud, obviously, say to yourself, I love you. You're wonderful. You're perfect the way you are. You're strong. And you had to look in the mirror in your own eyes. And I have to tell you, it was very uncomfortable. And by the end of that 3 minutes, I was able to say it without almost breaking into laughter. How sad is that, right? Because yoga is very quiet. But it's not what you're telling people to do to say, I love you. I challenge everybody to try it, because it's not easy. It's we like that negative talk, right?
We get addicted to it.
We do. It is. It's an addiction. So tell me this. So how do you, or what do you see as some of the biggest mistakes that single women make when they're dating, and have you found that they're the same for men as well?
You know what? I do more work with women than men, so I'm not that familiar with the men's world. But if looking to the at women, it goes back to self-love and confidence, because when a woman is not in love with herself, it's hard for her to convince a potential partner to love her, because she will take actions that are not aligned with somebody that loves herself or with healthy relationships. She will do things that will self-sabotage their relationships, and that comes from creating insecurities. So if a woman is insecure in a relationship and she is not in love with herself, she can't look at herself in the mirror and really truly love herself, it's going to affect her sex life. It's gonna affect the way she takes care of herself. She's not gonna prioritize me time, or maybe her success, or maybe, you know, just taking time to do yoga or mindset, just because she's gonna be all into her boyfriend. She is gonna get lost in the relationship. She's gonna forget who she is in the relationship, and the inner critic is gonna rise over and over and over again. Because she's so immersed in that, it's almost like a hunter energy of like, I need to get the relationship. I need to control the situation. I need to make things happen. And true love and relationship doesn't work like that. It's more like a ping pong. It's a give and take. You can't control everything. And actually, when you are in a place of flow and vulnerability, the relationship strives.
How did you... In the abusive relationship you were in over a decade ago, did he try to control your education? Like you said, you would go to seminars, you read books, you watched inspirational videos and funny videos. Did he try to deter you or stop you from doing those things?
Not really. My education, because I was madly in love with him. And when one is in an abusive relationship, it's almost like the metaphor of the frog in the pot of water. If you put a frog in a pot of water, if you just put it and you put her in the boiling water, she jumps right out. She's like, oh no, this is dangerous. The water, it's very hot. I'm jumping out. But if you put the frog in the water and slowly you turn on the heat, she's gonna just stay in the water, not noticing what's happening around her. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was in love, so I ignored red flags, and there were so many of them, and everybody in my circle could see it. But also, predators are usually very smart, very intelligent. They have this way about them of brainwashing, and also most important isolating. So it was a big drama if I went out with my friends. It's like non-stop brainwash every day, all day, until I believed everything that he inserted in my mind. And when we broke up, I mean, he got violence, and that's where I broke their relationship. When we broke up, I had to actually get out of the illusion that he inserted in my mind and figure out for myself who I was. And this is when I started going to the seminar and really empowering myself. I was always into self-development since I was young, but never to that degree. Yeah, and looking back, it was my greatest gift, because if I didn't experience this pain, this level of depth of emotion, and my own journey of getting out of that, I wouldn't be able to connect with my clients in that way, because I get it. I know where they are. Wherever they are, I get it. And from that place, we can rise.
Yes, that's right, because you've done it. So, and it's so funny because... And this is why I think what you do is so important for people listening. They go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But then to do it for yourself, to yourself, it's not so easy. So you really do need someone to coach you or guide you and give you those little step-by-steps, because we're too close to the situation, so that you did go through it and you did rise like the phoenix, right? And you've created this amazing business where you're able, from love, right, to help other people find that self-love and the steps to get out of whatever depression or situation they're in. So even if it's just self-loathing, where they jump from one bad relationship to another, I think understanding and executing are two very different things. So that's why I think your role is critical, because I believe that people need help in the executing, because we're stuck in our own mud. We're stuck in our own stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even it doesn't have to be that deeper level of depression. I usually don't work with people who are like really in the midst of that pain, because I think they need a little sometimes deeper help. But I usually work with people who have conquered some and are at the place where there is still a lot of pain to heal, but they are ready to take the next step. They are ready to rise and take the next level.
Yeah, and they don't always know what that is, right? And that's where I think you come in, yeah, to help and them gap with the gap.
And Einstein said that I'm going to butcher this quote, but when there's a force going in one direction, we keep going in the same direction, unless an outside interference will come and shift it. And it just takes a little bit of a shift to change your life, like hitting a golf ball, just one little millimeter, and the trajectory is different. It's either going to be a win or a loss.
That's right.
So that's what us coaches do.
Yeah, we think we have to change everything, and that change doesn't stick that way. Orion, let's take a really, really brief break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about what are some good habits that women can make so that we stop listening to everybody around us, right? That oh, you have to be married. Oh, you have to have kids. Oh, this, oh, that. And we're told what we should have at different stages of our life, not what necessarily we seek for ourselves. So if we could talk a little bit about that, and what are some of the tools or tips that you give your clients, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We are back. We are speaking with Orion Talmay, and we're really talking about, I think it's self-love, right, Orion? It's about that self-love, and then how can we turn that into whatever we're meant to do or be in this world, right? And it starts with self, right? Looking in the mirror and saying, I love you, and then being able to build and grow from there. So how can we, our own thoughts, right, those 80,000 negative thoughts we have every day are bad enough, but then when you have people around you saying, you should do this, you should do that, you should be married, which I think causes women to settle sometimes. How do you guide them? What do you tell them to do? How can they deal with that?
It's a very difficult thing to deal with, because the pressure of the family and the environment is real, and our biological clock is ticking. So it needs to be taken into consideration that, yes, if you are thinking about having babies and you're over 30, it's time to really think about it. And not wait till you know, you're 50 or 60 to think about babies. I'm exaggerating, right? But it is crucial. Our biological clock is ticking. And if a woman wants to have babies, she needs to think about it at least about like freezing our eggs. So it's real. It's not, it is the reality of us being a woman. On the other hand, there is there are technological advancements, and my grandma, for example, had my mom when she was 57. But there is a place for concern. But it's about knowing yourself. I mean, myself, I was always a rebel. I always did the opposite. It's just my character. If you tell me to do something, I'll do the opposite. My husband knows that. It's like you told me to do what? Mm-mm. It's like this rebel thing. I was born like that. I was born that way.
You're a warrior.
Yes.
A warrior. Yeah.
I'm a warrior, and then I had to learn to be a warrior goddess.
Yes.
And incorporate the masculine, feminine energies, and learn how to find empowerment through my goddess part, through my feminine goddess part, which really, by the way, helps every relationship. But it also helps when a woman is so stressed because of the outside pressure. Because when you do your own work, when you connect to higher guidance through meditations, through affirmations, through really like doing that inner work and knowing yourself and connecting to yourself, and then maybe through sensual movement, because we are physical beings having a human experience, like Dr. Wayne Dyer used to say. Especially for women, sensual movement is so important. Movement that is of the feminine, yoga, but also pole dancing, belly dancing, tribal dance, anything that is this like curvy style movement that is of the feminine, help you connect to that part of you that is goddess-like. And when you are living in that space, those negative voices are... They will fade away. You might hear them somewhere in the background, but they won't be as powerful, because when you feel happy, it's very simple. When you feel happy and joyful and somebody comes and criticizes you, you won't react as in such a way as if you were already depressed and already feeling like shit.
That's sorry. Right. No, you're exactly right. They're exactly right.
So when a woman is embracing her feminine part and seeing it as a source of power rather than a source of vulnerability, and there are many, many ways to get there, she will, she won't have this like needy energy of like, oh my God, I need to get married right now. I need to have kids right now. She will be self-fulfilled already. And when she let go from that place, the possibilities open up, because there is no constraint and there is more openness. And when she is in this higher vibration, the partner will show up, and life will be much easier.
It's okay. So that I believe so true, because I didn't meet my husband until I was 29 years old. And I had people telling me, you know, you better get married. You know, your clock is running out. You said you want to have kids. And I remember saying to one person, I haven't met the right person. I'm not going to settle. And they said, well, maybe you should lower your standard. I can you imagine? I was so...
I lowered my standards. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Every time I lowered my standards in business or in life, it never, ever worked. So I rather wait and get what I need than just lowering my standards. And when you look at the greatest picture, you will go through more suffering if you lower your standards.
Oh my
and
God.
And lowering your standards doesn't mean coming from a place of ego, of like, I am a queen and I have to have the best man in the world. This is ego. But higher standards from a place of wholeness, of knowing who you are, what you are willing to compromise for, and what are your boundaries, and respecting your own boundaries, which is a big thing.
You're right. It's true. And I am, like you, stubborn. So I know what I know. I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and I'm willing to listen, but don't tell me how to live my life, right? Because I know what's best for me. So I'm pretty strong personality. Those that are listening that know me are going, very strong personality. But here's the thing. I remember I was 29, right before I met my husband. I just want to talk about that surrendering. And I remember approaching my mom, and now Italian, very, very old Italian family. My dad was born in Italy, and I came home and I was making a very good living, and I had saved quite a bit of money. And I said to my mom, I'm going to buy a house. And then, you know, about 31, I'm going to adopt a child. I know I want a child. Can you imagine to an Italian mother? I said, I know I want a child in my life. I don't need a man. They're just too much work. And I don't have the time for the games and the nonsense. And I swear to God, I almost gave her a heart attack. She was like, what? Needless to say, that was a pivotal moment for me, because I had truly stopped looking, quote unquote, and thought, you know what, whatever it is, I have my plan. I'm going to buy a house, I'll adopt a kid, and then I'll have a child in my life, which I knew I wanted to be a mom. And whatever happens, well, within a month, I met my husband. And within less than 2 years, we were married. So right before my 30th birthday, we actually got married. So when you surrender to what's meant to be will be, and not try to control every aspect of your life. And Orion, I'm a control freak. I admit it openly. But when you truly give in to the flow and the energy of the universe and what is to be for you, that's when it happens. And I know people are like, oh, easier said than done. But truly, that was a pivotal moment for me, and that's when I opened myself up to the true love that I was seeking, that I knew I needed. He found me, you know?
Yeah, and let me just, you know, it happened to me too. Me too!
Me too!
Hashtag me too.
I love
where I went, you know, I was, after the abusive relationship, I got really hard. I studied martial arts. I studied mixed martial arts and Aikido. I was a kick-ass. I had a very strong masculine energy. I couldn't date for more than 2-3 months. And then I went to Tony Robbins' event, and he talked about polarity, masculine, feminine energies. And I knew that I had to surrender to something higher than myself. And I was very emotional that day. But then at 1 a.m., as the day was over, it's very long days, I sat by a waterfall and I sang a little song that I wrote when I was 16. And it was just in the desert, beautiful sky full of stars. And I was singing, then I was praying, crying and laughing. And I was in a place of surrender, not surrendering to as a victim, not surrendering from a place of giving up, but surrendering to higher power, saying,
absolutely,
God, I can't control it anymore. I can't fight anymore. I'm tired of fighting, because that's what I did. I was a fighter. I was a warrior. I fought for everything in life. I fought for my freedom. I fought for the relationship, to get a relationship. I fought for my business. Everything was a fight, fight, fight. And for a woman who's feminine in her core, which is most women, some are masculine in their core, but most women are feminine in their core. It's life is too hard. Your body gets too tight. You get too tired. You get into adrenal fatigue. It affects your health. It's not healthy. So I just prayed. And from that place of surrender into higher power, I said, God, help me. And then I wrote two things. I wrote the person that I want, and all the qualities that he's going to have. And then, who do I need to become? The most important thing, who do you need to become to attract what you want? Who do I needed to become to attract the person that I wanted? Within 24 hours, I met my soulmate. 9 days later, he proposed on a hot air balloon in Vegas. And I said, no. And then 9 months later, he proposed to me at the same place. I prayed for him to show up, and I said yes, and the rest is history. We're married. We're happy. Life is good.
Isn't that great?
And you know, thank God for that.
But Orion, that's why I'm laughing. It happens that freaking quickly when, and you're right, it's not surrendering power, it's surrendering into the flow of what should be, not what I think it should be, but what is, right? That's the universe at work all the time.
It's very simple.
It's very simple.
When you lose your keys, you're like, where's my keys? Where's my keys? Where's my keys? Where's my keys? And you get all stressed about it. And then you said, okay, I'm giving up. And the moment you give up, you find your keys.
Yeah, they're usually in your hands, right? So here's two things, and then I'll ask my last question because we're almost out of time. But I hope everyone is listening. And Orion, I have men and women that tune in. So I hope the women are truly listening to find that inner goddess and that femininity. Yes, you could be strong, but you can also be soft at the same time, right? That masculine feminine balance. And I hope the men that are listening truly allow their girlfriends, spouses, mothers, whatever, sisters, to support them in this journey of finding that balance and finding their voice and finding just who they are. Because I think that will contribute, for the men that are listening, that could contribute so beautifully to empowering the love that you have with your spouse, girlfriend, or whatever it is. So I hope they're really hearing your message, because
I have something for the men as well.
Yes, go ahead.
So, dear men, and I love you dearly, remember to connect to your masculine power, because it's almost like, you know, I took pole dancing with Sheila Kelly, and she described the pole as the masculine, and then the feminine is just spinning around it and crashing into it. And you want to be her rock. You want to hold your ground strong. And you want to take maybe, if you want to improve your masculine traits, you, on the other hand, you might want to take things like weight training, martial arts. On the physical level, it will help you ground in your masculine. And also remember to be strong for your woman and all hold her. Because if she's going to keep spinning around you and creating storms, and you want to be the eye of the storm. Because when you're standing strong in your masculine, the feminine won't be able to fight anymore. She will surrender to you, but she will only surrender to you if you own your masculine power 100%.
I love that. And I just have to share, my husband, I'm crazy, and my husband is very, very calm. He is the yin to my yang, I tell you. He's amazing. But when I'm running like a lunatic, I got to do this for work. I have two businesses. I host the radio show, the kids, whatever. I have two boys. They're both in college. So I'm like a crazy person. And sometimes when he sees that I'm getting more and more and more and more overwhelmed, and he sees the stress growing, he'll just hug me. He'll go, come here. And I go, I don't have time. Like, I'll say to him, this is terrible, Orion. I say to him, I don't have time. And he says, he looks at me and he grabs me. I don't have a say because he's stronger than me. And he'll grab me and he'll just hold me really, really tight. And I have to tell you, I immediately fold into him, but I surrender again. And I'm like, oh, I really needed this. And he's like, you'll get it done. You always do. Can you just breathe? Let's
beautiful.
Go. Yes. Isn't that amazing? But he forces me. Now, isn't that a terrible thing for a woman to have her husband force that he just.
It's not. It's not. We need that.
We need
that, because if we are in a heightened masculine, the men should show up a little stronger.
Yes.
Just to hold her. And also, presence. Women look for presence. So guys, if you're with your woman, give her your presence. It doesn't mean being with her watching TV. It doesn't mean being with her doing other things. It means just a few minutes of eye gaze.
Yeah.
That will help you connect. Also, Tantra. Yeah. Tantra helps really connect with the couple, because this is time where there are no computers, no phones, no business, just you two breathing and gazing and doing whatever exercise that you're doing, moving energies between your two. So this is really important. I had so many things I wanted to talk to you about today we didn't get to, but that intimate time and scheduling intimate time is crucial.
And you know what I found too, again, Orion, I told you before the show, I'm 56, I have two 21 and an 18-year-old, and my husband and I definitely got into a rut when we were taking, my kids played hockey, so he'd go one way, I'd go another. He'd cook, and then I would clean up, and he'd run and do laundry, put the kids to bed. We were divide and conquer, and it absolutely impacted our marriage and impacted our life. Not that we were ever unhappy, but we kind of lost touch with each other because it was always divide and conquer. And I know this is true for a lot of couples, especially when you throw kids into the mix, because now they're demanding. They need you, right? They're dependent on you. And you're so right that the touch, the intimacy, but scheduling time together where you're not interrupted by the kids or by work or whatever it is, is just really, really critical to maintaining and creating a happy long-term marriage. And my husband and I are going to be married 27 years in January. So
nice. Yeah. And it's not a luxury. It's a necessity. Also, one thing that you can do with your partner every night before you go to bed, and I learned that from Harvey Landrieu, and I do it with my husband every night, and it helps a lot because, you know, with our negative thoughts that we talked about, and we're so focused on the negative, sometimes we need to remind ourselves to focus on the positive and why we are with that person from the beginning.
That's right.
So every night before we go to sleep, we look at each other every night. Even when we travel, we call each other, you know, even if it's in the morning, it's a different time. But we do it almost every day. Before we go to bed, we look at each other and we say to each other three things about the other person that we appreciated about the day. So thank you for washing the dishes. Thank you for calling Verizon for me.
Yeah.
Thank you for your beautiful eyes. Simple things like that. So every day you keep your focus and your negativity. You focus on what is. And the reality is that you are with an amazing person that loves you most of the time. And you need to appreciate, because gratitude is key for love and for life.
Well said. Just what a great way to end the show, Orion. Thank you. That was, perfect. You're exactly right. Oh, I'm going to do that with my husband. He's game.
Good.
He's wonderful. He's always game. Like if I read an article, I'll send it to him. You have to read this. And then we'll talk about it at night. Oh my God, did you get this? Da-da-da. And we'll kind of talk about whatever the learning point was of the article for personal growth. So this, he will love doing this every night because he's my little love bug. He really is.
We wait for it every night. And if
I
we decide,
it.
I'm like, honey, what about gratitude?
Oh, I can't wait to teach him this. He's going to love it. Thank you for that. Listen, guys, if you want more Orion, I have ways to reach her. You could go to websites, actually. Her first one is orionsmethod.com, and it's O-R-I-O-N-S method.com. Or you can listen to her podcast at stellarlifepodcast.com. Not to worry, I will post both on the Enlightenment of Change web talk radio platform, so you can click and go and you'll find Orion easily. If you have stories or you want me to cover topics on the show, please reach out to me directly at connie@whitmanassoc.com. I do read them myself. Orion, thank you again for just an amazing show. And I hope both my men and women listener learned something about themselves, but also learned some tools that they can implement, like me. Tonight, I'm going to use that with my husband to share just three quick things that I'm really pleased that he did, or that grateful that he did for me, or that I observed him do during the day. So I hope everybody got something from it, Orion. I love it. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Very, very, very fun show as well. You have a wonderful personality. you giggle nicely. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that change is so much freaking easier than we make it, just by changing one little thing in our life. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Orion, again. Thank you for your insights and all the inspiration. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful and love-filled, inspiring week. Thank you.